We have so many exciting things going on in the church at the moment. I'm excited for every single one, so I'm not going to repeat every single one. The only one we're going to go a little bit more into today is Trent. Trent Membray. Trent. But before we say that, it's Eve's birthday. So happy birthday, Eve. We all sung to her in the back, so we've sung to her. Happy birthday, Eve. And it's these lovely people's anniversary. So lots of good things happening today. Okay, so Paula and Shane, I just pointed these lovely people. I'm going to invite Vicky up because Vicky knows Trent personally. And this, it's not something that it's, I don't even know. I think it's a God thing. That's the only way I can describe it, that we were offered to have him, that Vicky does what she does, and we have him on the 23rd of April. So it is a Wednesday evening. It is in the school holidays. It is the week after Easter, but we are so excited to host him, and I think it will be so beneficial to every single one of you and people that don't even belong to C3 Stand. I think anyone, because he's going to Hepburn Heights and then he's going to Canvas, so we're in Rockingham, so we're sort of in the middle, right? So I think anyone who's in the middle of those needs to come here on the 23rd of April. So we'll be promoting that. But I was going to invite Vicky up just to talk a little bit about him.
This is a big deal. Okay. Pastor Trent is from C3 Auckland. So he's coming over from New Zealand. And as Pastor Lisa said, he's at Hepburn Heights for Easter, then the following weekend at Canvas. And I've managed to pull some strings so that, because he's a good friend of mine, brother from another mother, known him for about 10 years. And so just asked our illustrious leader here if she'd be open. This is a big deal. He is one of the most powerful, anointed ministers that I know. He is primarily known as an evangelist, but he has planted churches in New Zealand. To this day, one of the most amazing services I've ever ministered in was in Manukau in Auckland, at a location that he and his wife Jade planted. And so he will come with signs and wonders. He has a powerful testimony. As Paola alluded to, he's, you know, drugs dealer. I mean, was a meth addict for years, got into gangs. His testimony alone is amazing. But I'm telling you, he will deposit something. He will deposit something. He's overseeing churches now. So we are so blessed to have him come. So please, let friends, your enemies, your frenemies, everybody, because this is, I am so excited. I am so excited. And I know he is too, and so there you go. Let everyone know.
Yep, let everyone know. Thank you. Let everybody know. Vicky introduced Trent and myself on an Instagram chat, and they go for it in their emojis. And then he comes in, he's like, Lisa, this is what you get when you get a half-caste Maori with an Italian. And he said, you just got to get used to it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm here for all of it. So it's Yeah, doesn't know. But very exciting. So block that out in your calendar if you can. It will probably be, it will be after dinner time, and we'll be picking him up from Rockingham. We're sort of doing the transfer over. So it will probably be around 7 o'clock, I would say, but we haven't set that actual time. But it is holidays, and hopefully you get the night off and you can come. All right, so the 23rd. Okay, so this morning we're speaking on baptisms because we are having water baptisms on Easter. But don't just want to leave it at, oh, if you're not baptized, this is time to get baptized, because we get baptized ourselves, and then it's sort of like a, I guess it's a reminder. What have we chosen to do, and how do we live out of that after we chose to do it? So it's not just a, if you haven't been baptized, let's get baptized. It is that. But it's not just that. So I'm hoping and praying that you get something from it for your own life, for when you made that decision. When we make the decision to follow Christ, the next step is baptism. It's not a, I've got it in here somewhere, but it's not a weight deal. It's not meant to be a weight deal. When when Peter says repent and get baptized, that's what they should do. It's not repent and then let's just wait until whenever. It's the next step. We get baptized. So anyway, I'm going to speak a little bit about that today, but I think you all want to know where I'm at with my coffee journey. That's what I think. My coffee and green tea journey. Sandia, you'll be so proud of me. I do green tea now every morning. She was like, I'm a green tea girl. I'm like, yeah, I'm only just starting. but I have had no coffee and I'm good. And I actually enjoy green tea in the morning. So when we were looking at the you are what you love quote from Jamie Smith, and he said, what's in our hearts and formed in us is far greater than what we hear and what we know. So what we do is very, what we know is very different to what we do. We can know stuff. We can know the word of God. We can know what we're supposed to do. But what we do, what we love and what we do is sometimes very vastly different. So I know that green tea is probably better for me in the morning. And I was very certain that I would go back to coffee in the morning because I love coffee. It's in my DNA. I'm Italian, we're meant to have coffee. That's how I start my mornings. But what I have found is that I feel better with green tea in the morning after this period of time. I know, it's disgusting. Sky said to me, Sky looked at me the other day, she goes, who even are you? But I can get coffee again as of tomorrow. I can put coffee back in my routine. But I will not put coffee in first thing in the morning for now. I will put coffee in somewhere along the line and enjoy a coffee in the morning because somewhere, not the first thing, a bit down the track in the morning, mid-morning. Because it doesn't control me anymore. And that's what happens with some of our habits. That's a very light scale habit. But that's what happens with some of our habits. We form pathways with these habits and we go, that is what I'm sticking to, but it's sometimes rude, contrary to the word of God. But because we've made these pathways and we actually love what we do sometimes, or we go, this is just who I am, we don't actually make the effort to go, okay, maybe I should think differently. What does the word of God say? How do I actually form these new pathways for me to do? And actually see that it benefits us because we're so stuck in our habits, we're so stuck in our ways. So you'll all be happy to, I don't know if you're all happy to know that, but I'll still be drinking coffee when I meet with you. So I can have coffee again as of tomorrow. And I'm excited to have coffee because I love coffee, but now it's not I have to have coffee. Otherwise I'm going to be really grumpy, really fatigued, really headachy. So it doesn't actually, it's not that way around. It doesn't control me. Our habits and what we do shouldn't control us. The word of God and who Jesus is and the love of him is what should guide us, is what should be over us in everything that we do. Not our worldly habits, not things that we've adjusted to and gone, this is what I want to do. This is me, take it or leave it. That's not the word of God. That's not how he wants us to be. He wants us in community. We're meant to be dependent on each other. We're meant to be in community. So when we're doing our life separate, it's just me and God. It's just between me and God and then I want to do whatever I want to do. That's not the word of God. We're meant to be in community. So anyway, I've probably done all of my messaging but anyway, baptism. So when we get baptized, the old is washed away. We join with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection, all in that moment. It's washed away, it's all made new, and we come up in this new creation. We are in with him in death. We are in him in his resurrection as well. We get baptized in him. So how does being in him look? If everything that's true about Jesus is now true about you, and everything's old is washed away, how do you then live your life? How is your life different? Because sometimes we can make that choice and we can then go, yeah, okay, I want to get baptized or don't want to get baptized, whatever. We make that choice, but then we still live the way we live. We just know, okay, I'm going to heaven. But there's an actual act to it. The baptism is an actual symbolic act to us giving our hearts to Christ and going, okay, everything is now washed away. So we go under, everything's washed away, we come out and we're made new and we go, okay, now I'm made new. I've got a new identity. I've basically got a new man. I'm new human. There's a new way of living. How do I do that? And for us that have been baptized, how do we do that? Because we can still go back to our past. We can still live in our past. We can still trace everything back in our past. Every hurt, every failure, every abuse, everything that's happened to us, we can still relive and go back into when he's like, I've made you new. So if we go, okay, I'm made new, but I'm still living over here, how are we actually living in the truth of Jesus Christ? When our mindset says, this is what I think we should do, this is my truth, this is what I don't like, this is what I like, or this is what I've been through, you don't understand. But Jesus goes, but I've come and washed it clean. You're now me. Everything that's me is now you. Everything that's true of me is true of you. How do we actually live that out in our everyday? Matthew 28:19 says, therefore go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age. That is promise. I am with you always to the end of age. You are baptized into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to get ahead of myself. Okay. So what does it mean to be baptized? What does it look like putting on that new man? What does it look like when we're actually living out the truth of Jesus is now us, the truth of who Jesus is now the truth of us? How does that look like? So thank you, Father. I just thank you, God, that this word just touches every single person, Father. I thank you, God, that we have a new understanding of just how we live, Father, and may you just touch every heart. Whatever you want to say, Father, regardless of my words, Father, may you speak to each person, God, how you want to speak to them, what you want to speak to them. Thank you, Lord. Just like that song says, whatever you, I don't know what it was saying, but it was saying where you're going and what are you doing, something like that. Yep. Where are you going and what are you doing? These are questions that we should be asking. God, what are you doing? What are you saying? This is how we live every day. What is it that you're saying to me in the morning? What is it that you want me to do? Where is it that you're going? I want to follow. That is the whole thing of transformation that we've been talking about and following Jesus Christ and being a disciple. A true, authentic follower and apprentice of Jesus is going, you know what, I want to copy everything that he is, everything that he does, who he is. I want to know everything about him and I want to walk with him and I want to be like him. That is the whole apprentice thing is, let me get this right without, because I didn't write that down, but anyway. The whole apprentice thing is that you start off, there's like four stages, and you start off and you're watching someone how they do it. And then the next stage is you're helping the person, you're helping your boss, say, you're helping them and how to do it. And then the next stage is you're doing it and your boss is helping you. And then the stage after that is that they're watching and you're doing, right? That's the whole real trip of discipleship with Jesus. He's like teaching us, he's telling us, he's speaking to us. He's like, this is what I want you to do. Let me show you what to do. Let me show you, like Vicky was talking with Trent about signs and wonders. Let me show you what to do. Let me show you how to be. Let me show you how to pray. Let me show you how to be with people. Let me show you how to love. That's what he shows us, right? It's through all through the New Testament. That's how he shows us, all through the Gospels. This is how you are to live, right? Then we help. We give our hearts and we go, how do I help that? Right? How do I help that? Then we start doing. Then he comes along, he's helping us, right? That's what he's doing with us. Then we go out, he sends us out to go be disciples, and that's what we're supposed to do. That is the whole apprenticeship of Jesus, the four stages. That's what we're supposed to do as people. We're not supposed to live for ourselves and go, this is it, I've given my heart, and there's no other stages. There's like that process of being that disciple, that he teaches us and then we're going and then he's with us in what we're doing because we've copied him. We wanted to do everything like him. Anyway. Galatians 3:26-29. So in Christ, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jews nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor their male or female. For you all are one in Christ Jesus. You belong to Christ. Then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We can sometimes skip over, we are now Abraham's seeds and heirs according to the promise. We are now in this family. I think when we first started the transition a couple of years ago, we started talking about this, that we're family, right? That's how we are. He doesn't see us differently. We're all together. We're all family. We're all one. And it says here that now we've been baptized and we are in Abraham's seed. That means that we play a part in God's plan of redemption for this world. We play a part in that. this is not about us. We are part of a story. That is what we are. We're a part of a story. We're not the story. Your life is not the story. You're a part of a story. And we're now a part of Abraham's seeds and a part of the promises of God. So how do we live that out every day? How do we get up and live that out every day? And so all that is truth about Jesus is now clothed on you and in you. So now the truth about you is your new identity. If you are here and you feel like I'm a little bit lonely, I don't know where I belong, or, you know, I feel isolated, he's actually saying you're a part of this family. You're a part of my family. You're a part of Abraham's seed. That's what you did. That's the declaration that you made. You're a part of a family. But it takes you to actually understand and you to make those habit changes and you to go, you know what, I'm actually a part of this. This is not about me anymore. This is about Jesus. How do I actually come together and partner with him in that plan? I think Mel was talking last week, Pastor Mel, about co-laboring. And we talked about effort. We've been talking about effort. It takes that effort. It takes us to co-labor. It takes us to do this with God when we go, yep, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and as my Savior. So if you haven't been baptized yet, you have an opportunity on Easter to be baptized. And it's exciting. It's an exciting thing. Sometimes we can get a little bit afraid of that. We can go, oh, what's going to happen to me after I baptize? Life happens. Life happens to you now, right? But we attribute it to baptism because when we've just been baptized. But life happens, right? Yes, there is so many things that go on when we give our hearts to Christ and we can feel that there's this opposition and all this sort of stuff. But when we really look at what it is, we're giving our hearts to Christ, we're going, the next step is baptism, and we go, okay, life actually happens. It doesn't mean I run away from it. It doesn't mean I walk away from it because life happens to me. I made that choice to follow him. This is not I'll make the choice until something happens. Oh, this is really bad. I didn't expect this. I'm out. Like that's not the way of Christ. That's not a follower. That's not a disciple. If you were an apprentice and you finish your apprenticeship, you always got that trade. You've always got it. You can't change that. You've always got it. When you're baptized into the family of God, you always baptize into the family of God. You can't change that. You can maybe not have the fruits of that and walk away. That's your choice. But you're still in the family of God. It's not then really this is, I'm going to wait for something bad to happen to me after I do this. It's not about that. You're just making the next step. So in Acts 2, when Peter was preaching and gospel of Jesus, the Lord of the King is here, the kingdom's here, he's coming back. And in Acts 2:37, people were cut to the heart asking Peter, what should they do? And he says, repent and be baptized. That's our response to the gospel. Repent and be baptized. It's not repent and then wait. Stepping in the water, whether it's a pool or a beach or however that looks, stepping in the water is so significant. There's such a significant symbolic act to what you've already said yes to. You've already said yes to that. So this is an action. Repent and be baptized. Into the name of means into union with, into the sphere of. So you're coming in union with Jesus Christ. That's what you're doing. That's what it's saying. We're baptizing you into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When Paul's writing these terms, it's not a if you are to be baptized. It's like when you're baptized. It's like a when. It's not an if. And so whatever's holding you back, if you haven't been, whatever's holding you back, what is holding you back? Because it's not the Lord. You don't need to pray for it and go, Lord, should I get baptized? It's not the Lord holding you back. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you the truth. It's not the Lord holding you back. So you have to ask, what is holding me back if you are not baptized? That's just the plain truth. I'm not sitting here saying, oh, now what's talking to me instead of God? I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying that's the next step. Peter says, repent and be baptized. He doesn't say repent and then like just wait till you go through, you know, a few lessons and a few Bible colleges and, you know, get all your life in a row and all that sort of stuff. He doesn't say that. Repent and be baptized. So the Creator God steps into the innermost parts of our DNA. This is the step, right? It's a step that we need to do, a part of it. That's what we need to do. It begins, it really is meant to begin our journey, but there's so many of us that go, I'll wait for a while. So that doesn't really begin your journey, but it should. It should be, okay, I'm giving my life to Christ, now I'm going to be baptized. When Peter preached that time was in Pentecost, 3,000 souls came, repent and be baptized. 3,000 souls. And I was thinking, imagine if we did 3,000 souls on Easter. That'd be pretty cool. I don't think we can fit them in here, but that would be pretty cool, right? It'd be a really amazing day, I think. Anyway, but yeah, bring it on. 3,000 people. If you know of anyone who wants to be baptized, bring them here on Easter. They can just jump in the pool. So Colossians 2, 6 to 13. I want to just read this out to you. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong. These are steps. These are steps. How do I get my faith to grow strong? Okay, these are steps. So if anyone's asking, how do I get my faith to grow strong? Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong. Your faith doesn't grow strong by sitting in church on a Sunday morning. That is the truth. You could hear me and Elton says, Lisa, people might even get one thing that you say, if that. I'm like, okay, cool. I spent all this time and I come up here and you might not get it, but you're not going to grow strong by sitting here on a Sunday morning. That's the truth. You're going to grow strong by building your life on him and growing your roots down in him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. How thankful is your heart? Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies. This is something we all need to. So write it down, Colossians 2, 6 to 13. Go and read this for you because you're not going to remember any of this that I say. Don't let anyone, well, I hope you do. Maybe God's pointing something out. But anyway, don't let anyone, so it says don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers. That is so important because this is where we form pathways that are lies because we are listening to the wrong source. For in Christ, hang on for a moment, thinking from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body, in Christ. When you give your heart and you are baptized, it says the fullness of God is in you. You do not get half. You do not get a quarter until you get your ducks in a row. The fullness of God lives in you already, right? I keep losing where I'm at. So you are also complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. If you're sitting here saying that I can't because I have these things that are taking over, that is a lie because he's ruler over every spiritual authority. He's already got the victory. He's already won. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. This is for you. This is for me. This is for us. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him you were raised to a new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. Amen. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He cancelled the record of all charges against us and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. That is for you. But do we live like that? That's the question. You could. That's amazing. I know I could name a million and one failures that happened to me since the moment I got baptized. It is what it is, right? But that is the truth. Do I live that he's clothed on me? Do I live in the death and resurrection? Am I alive in him? Do I clothe myself every day with him? We're brought into union with him. This is not a past tense with baptism. It's a when. We are supposed to be baptized. That is a when. You were buried with Christ when you were baptized. It is not an if. When you are baptized into Jesus, you get a new identity. The old you, the failures, the mistakes, the sins, the deceit, the betrayal, the hurt, the failures, all of it gone. You come out and it's a newness. It's a newness. We then can continue. The testimony of your past is a testimony of your past. But if we still live in our past because of all the hurts, we have not washed that away. There's a difference of living in our past and a testimony of God's goodness on our past. There is a difference. So we can still say our past because God has redeemed us from it and God saved us from it. But if we're living in the hurt of it, how are you living out that you are now, Jesus is in you, you are now Jesus, the truth of Jesus is now the truth of you. How do you live that out in your life? So three reasons to be baptized. This was an example set by us from Jesus. He was sinless. He didn't have to. This was the example that he set for us. So Jesus got baptized, didn't need to. But it showed us how important it was for us to get baptized. It was a God idea. It wasn't a good idea. It was a his idea. I think that was like a light cliche line. But anyway, he died for us, and then we can be put in his name. This was what we are supposed to be, put in his name. I was born a Catholic. I was christened. Beautiful ceremony for my family. I had no idea what I was doing. I was about 6 months old. Couldn't know what I was doing. But beautiful for my family. It's like we do dedications, right? Unto the Lord. Beautiful, beautiful ceremony. But it says repent. I can't repent at 6 months. I don't know what I'm doing, right? So there is a time where you go, I repent and I'm baptized. So if you are christened and you go, I did it as a baby, did you really do it as a baby? Did you really? Or did your parents do it as a baby? Because there's a difference. It's a nice ceremony. I'm not taking that away of what that is, because they have that where the priest comes and you know, dedicates your baby. That's a beautiful thing for your family. But it's not what Peter says here, to repent and to be baptized. We need to be of age, of whatever age, but to understand that I'm following the gospel, I want to follow Jesus for the rest of my life. This is the next step. That's what you need to know that you're doing. We can't do that as babies. So two, get baptized to demonstrate your changed life. If you've given your life already to Christ, it's not a prayerful thing like I just said, it's just the next step. It's as simple as that. We can sometimes make things very complicated in the kingdom. Jesus comes in quite simple. I know that we can go quite deep into the scripture and we can go, oh, he meant this or this or this or this or this. And it's good to study the scripture. You need to study the scripture. We all need to study the scripture. But he made salvation very simple. He made following him very simple. We complicate it. We talk ourselves out of Christianity altogether. I know some people that can go to Bible college, talk themselves out of Christianity altogether. Because we can complicate what scripture is. When we follow Jesus, we want to know everything about him. We want to know who he is. We want to know what he does. And we want to emulate that. We want to copy that. We want to do all of that because we want to do what Jesus wants us to do. We want to be full disciples. So it's a public declaration of the decision, taking off the old and being cleansed for the new. So when Elton and I started, I think I've done this in a bit of an analogy before, but when Elton and I, exclusive to each other, we did everything backwards. I don't know if quite a few people here haven't heard our testimony. We did everything backwards. We weren't Christian. We were friends, lived together as friends. Then not saying this is, I wasn't Christian, okay? Just saying, just putting it out there. Wasn't Christian. Then we got together, then we had Taylor. Then we got married. No, then we went to church, then we got married. It was by the grace of God that we found, I'd known Clinton from when I was a teenager. But the fact that he was so gracious to walk with us in that sort of setting, he very much did. So we did everything backwards, right? But when we were exclusive to each other, we were exclusive to each other. But when we did the wedding day, that was a whole other story. I won't go into that. But when we did the wedding day, it was a symbolic act of, exchanging of rings, of I do's, of vows. It was beautiful, right? That was our day, a symbolic day to what we've already said. We already said we're exclusive to one another. Then we do this act of this day, and then we continue living into this marriage sacred world. I don't get up and go, I can't be bothered being married today. I'm going to walk away. Like, I don't do that. I try and live that out every day that we're married. That's what we do. We go, I'm a follower of Jesus and I want to do this for the rest of my life. Some seasons look quite hard. Some seasons aren't always the same. I saw a meme the other day that said, when you're dating, you can't wait to see someone. And then when you're married, your knee was on my side of the bed. So, and I sent it to Elton. I think we had that conversation the day before. But so there's different seasons, but the truth remains the same. I'm still married. Different seasons in your walk, but the truth remains the same. You're a follower of Christ. Remains the same. So this, I'm going to do this. I've done this before, but I feel like this is probably the best analogy for a union. And so in Greek, baptism's baptismo, if I say that right, baptismo. Anyway, it means submerge, and submerge is like a voluntary action. So you're volunteering to go into the water. Immersing, which is another definition of it, is you're immersing by another action. So it's us. You can't baptize yourself. You're volunteering to go in the water, and then you've got people helping you go in the water. So that's sort of what. And it talks about union, right? You're becoming one in Jesus. This is the best example I've got. I've done this before, but this is the best example I have. Huh? Oh, yeah, I did. Oh, it doesn't matter. Look, I'll fix it. Doesn't matter. All right, see this? I should have got gloves. Yeah. Anyway, doesn't matter. I don't want to go over. All right, see this? See how it's blue? It used to be white. It can never be white again. It's in union with the blue. So now it's blue. This is what happens to us when we come in the water and we go, I want to be one with Jesus Christ. Not that we become blue, but we become one. We can't take him off. He's always with us. We can walk away and not have the fruits of it, but he's always connected to us. This can never be a white garment again. It can't. We can't take it off. That's what being in union with Jesus Christ means. We're one. We're in union. We're together. And we come into him. And he's in us. We're together. That's what that means. So Romans 6, 3-8. Or have you forgotten that we were joined with Jesus Christ in baptism? We joined him in his death, for we died and we were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. This puts emphasis on the resurrection. We are alive with him. We are resurrected with him. So the question is, right, because we are, all of our past is gone. Our sin is gone. Our failures are gone. It's a new man. It's a new human. We got a new way of becoming human, right? It's almost like this second chance of going, it's all gone. And now I can, you know, I my life personally, know the power of that. Because I know, and I know there's people here that know the power of that, of knowing what it was like in a different world. And there's no choice. There's no choice other than to go, I want to follow Jesus. There's no choice. So the question is, do we really get up every day living up to who we really are? Or do we get up with a whole bunch of excuses and everything that's going on inside? I'm not saying your excuses are bad. I'm saying in everything that goes on in life, we have a lot of things that we say we can't do, we can't do, we can't do. So do we get up every day living out who we actually really are, who Jesus Christ says that we are? I had no idea how to be a mum. Taylor, like, birth was atrocious. Taylor comes out, she's got an egg in her head because she was vacuumed out, and then she's got her foot twisted on one end. Like, if we left it, it would have been, like, it was very crippled the other way around, and, you know, lots of stuff to help her foot. She had no suckling reflexes, she couldn't suck anything, right? And I had this, she was tiny, she was like this. And I had this little, she was, because I can't carry full term, so both of them were very tiny. So she comes out tiny, and I'm looking at her, and I'm going, I have no idea what to do. I don't know. I wasn't one of those women who just went, I'm just so nurturing and I know exactly how to be a mum. It wasn't me. I wasn't that. I wasn't born like that. Well, that's what I think. Anyway, so I looked at Taylor. I remember her on me and I refused to go to sleep. One day the nurse came and took her away from me and I must have fallen asleep and I woke up and I'm like ringing the buzzer and she's like, well, it's okay, we took her into the nursery, you need to sleep. I was like, bring her back. Because I was so protective because I didn't know what to do. So I was just like, bring her back. And she just was on me, but I don't know, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to be a wife when I said yes. When I said yes to being the pastor of this church, I don't know, right? It's the truth. But will I continuously say yes and try and live up to what Jesus Christ says of me? Yes. Will I fail all the time? Yes. But will I get up all the time and go, but this is who Jesus called you to be? Yes. That is our choice. That is what we need to do. That is who we are called to be every single day. So a couple of things that baptism is and isn't. Baptism isn't a forgiveness of sins. You have done that when you've accepted Christ, right? It happens already. When you accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He has forgiven you. This is what it is. But this is a symbolic act of what that decision is, right? It's not. It can't be from an act of man. If we were to rely on salvation as an act of man, then we're relying on ourselves for salvation, right? Because we're all the ones that baptize each other. So we rely on each other. But it's by the blood of Jesus Christ that washes us clean. That's what washes us clean. You do not become more spiritual because you've been baptized. When I was baptized, I was 18 years old. I thought I was going to come out. Some of you know this. Come out speaking in tongues. Didn't happen. I thought this was a failure. This baptism failed. It didn't work because I didn't come out speaking in tongues. That's what I thought. I thought it failed. Then I had to learn what baptism actually was after I got baptized. But that's what I thought, right? So it doesn't make you more spiritual. It does not make you come out speaking in tongues. It doesn't do any of that. You already received the power that rose Jesus from the dead inside you the moment you accepted Him. Baptism is an act of faith. It's a practical one, a clear, defined means of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Baptism is a declaration of, I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to submerge myself. So I'm volunteering myself. And I show I become one, identifying with the one who shed His blood for my salvation. It's to be in union with Him. So that's what I'm declaring. That's what you're declaring. Nor does this prevent you from sinning. Or if you sin, you don't need to then be rebaptized. This again, we can make it very complicated. No sin can take away or erase this mark, the same as that union of that garment. See, it's all soaked up. So that's what happens, right? That's exactly what happens. When we actually position ourselves, it soaks up. Anyway, you don't need to then ask your family if you need to belong again. You already belong to this family. You already identified with Him. You were baptized into Him, into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's such an important declaration for all of us. All of us daily die to sin, raising a new human every day, continually drawing comfort on the fact that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And we're baptized, we're submerged into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're put into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We identify with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're in union with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's something that we live out every day. When I started this whole elimination diet thing, I thought I was pretty healthy. I read a lot of neuroscientist books to do with the brain and how it works and God's mercy in you every morning. How does that look for us and that sort of thing? So, and then I read into the foods and how we eat and the mass production in America with beef and all this. And so I thought, you know what, free range this and organic this. And I thought I was pretty healthy. Then I go on this and I go, whoa, I've been living in the middle the whole time. Because sometimes we can actually think that we know what's good. And then we realize that we've been living in the middle. It takes us as community to actually squeeze us sometimes, to push us sometimes, to see what comes out and go, oh, maybe I need to relook at this. Maybe I need to go into this, into the Word of God and see what He's saying to me. Maybe I'm not always right. Maybe I'm not always right. Speaking of neuroscientists, so there's this thing, I've been using it a little bit because I think it's probably a really great analogy to speak about how we our minds work and the battle that stays in our mind, right? So there's this jungle. Pretend our mind's a jungle. And there's all the brain synopsis things in our brains. And we have a machete. And we think something. So say you come in and you go, oh, I don't know if I want this Christ thing. I don't know if I belong. I don't know if this is working. Or I don't know if my baptism worked. So, I'm out. Didn't speak in tongues. I don't know. Like, something could happen to you, right? And you sort of go along with the machete into this jungle and you sort of carve out a tiny little pathway. You can't really see it. It's like the bushes that we go down and we see a pathway. It was never meant to be a pathway, but someone probably dragged their boat down and made a pathway and everybody walks down it, concretes the pathway, right? But in our brains, when we go through this machete and we sort of like cut out this pathway, it's slightly, oh, and then we might come in again and go, oh, yeah, no, I really feel that. No one said hello to me. I don't know if I... Again, go down the pathway with the same machete. This can happen in any way you think, in any thing that you're thinking, right? Then you go down again with the machete. Before you know it, it's a clear pathway. And if you keep walking down this pathway, it becomes your truth. It's a lie, but it becomes your truth. It's good to have those pathways because we get to remember each other's names. We get to remember how to come to church. We get to remember how to, things, do things, whatever it is. But when we carve out those paths that aren't real and they become our truth, we are living and partnering with a lie. That's what we're doing. So we need to actually make effort to shake up, back up this jungle, to grow. If we look at grass grow, we can't keep walking on it. That's why we say don't park there, right? Because so this grass can grow. You can't keep walking down the same path. So if you're going, this is the same thought I keep getting and you know it's not of God, Satan, get behind me. It's not you. It's not God. It's not God. Does it bring you closer to God? If it's no, it's not God. It's not, it doesn't have to be complicated. If it doesn't bring you closer to God, it's not God. So if it comes to truth, if something's a lie and it's making you feel like you're isolated, making you feel like you're not a part of something, making you feel like hated, making you feel like you're not good enough, making you feel like you're not worthy enough, that's a lie that you have walked down that path and you need to now close up that. Right? If your past is affecting you, you've walked down it too many times, start closing it up. These are things that we need to make effort in. These are things that we actually need to do. It's possible in this world that talks about being selfish, talks about us being individuals, talks about us that we need to think of ourselves, we need to make ourselves happy, self-help, all that sort of stuff. It's possible in this world to go, no, God, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? What pathway do you want me to create? How do you want me to go about this? It is possible for us, but we need to make that effort. Paul says, the life I live, I no longer live for myself, but I live for the one, the band can come up. The life I no longer live for myself, but I live for the one who died for me. This is us living for Jesus. When we wake up, God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want me to say? God, who do you want me to contact? How do you want me to think? What is it that you're saying to me? Where is it that you're going? Where is it that I can follow? What is God saying to you when we wake up? Because we are part, if we're Abraham's seed and we're in this family, we're part of his plan. We're part of his redemption plan. How do we live that out? How do we live that out in our lives? Just keeping to ourselves and going, this is how I think in this life. I've created a pathway that I've walked down with my machete. I've created this pathway and forever this is going to be a pathway that I keep walking down. No, if that is not the word of the Lord and that is not bringing you closer to him, then you need to grow this grass, you need to grow back this jungle and you need to let that path go and create new pathways. If we're meant to keep our eyes on everything that's pure and lovely and honourable and praiseworthy and excellent and all that sort of thing, is every thought that you have connected to that? If not, it's the wrong path. Because that's what the Lord says our minds should be on. If that's not the path that you're walking down every morning in your mind, you've created a path and partnered with a path that is a lie, that is not the truth. So if this is a decision that you want to do with baptism, or you know someone, or if it's you, come and speak to Elson or myself. So on Easter, we're going to do baptisms. There's no better way to respond to your decision than be baptized, because that's the next step. It's as simple as that. That's the next step. We celebrate our anniversary every year. We remember that we're married. That's what we do. We celebrate that we were baptized and we remember why we did it. And we remember that we're true disciples, true followers, true apprentices of Jesus. So maybe for you this morning, it's about going back daily and going, remembering that decision, remembering that your union with one with Jesus. Remember that you made that decision to submerge, immerse yourself into water. And you go, how do I actually live every day? It's not my agenda every morning. It's yours, God. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? Who do you want me to call? How do you want me to, like, someone at work? You want me to be kind to someone at work? Why does he have you in your workplace? Why does he have you in your school? Why does he have you in your volunteering space? And whatever you do, whatever the capacity that you're in, it's not about once I get out of that, then I'll do. It's where you are at, what is he asking you to do? Who is he asking you to be around? And I'm not saying go around Bible bashing and get people away from Christ. No, how do you show love? How do you show kindness? Who's the one that he's calling you to talk to? What's his agenda when you wake up in the morning? What's his agenda when you wake up in the morning? Not what's our agenda when we wake up in the morning. So, everyone can close your eyes. We get a chance at living a whole new way to be human. He just calls us to say yes. We get that chance. So if no one here, if anyone here has not made a decision to follow Christ to begin with, or needs to rededicate their lives to follow Christ, just lift your hands and we'll pray with you. If that's you, just raise your hand. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray this together. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me first. Please forgive me for my sins. I believe you died and rose again for me. I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. Teach me to follow you and guide me, Holy Spirit, all the days of my life. So let's stand. If you have not been baptized, you have. Yeah, you can all stand. No, I'm not. This is not if you want to be baptized. All stand. If you have not been baptized, this is your chance on Easter. And I know it can be a little bit daunting, you're going, this is in front of people, but this is what family is. We want to champion you. We want to love on you. We want to clap for you. We want to do all of that for you. So if that is you and you go, yep, it's me on Easter, I want to come down. It's going to be a bit warm pool. We're going to come down. And we're going to, I want to be baptized. You can come on the day and be baptized. It doesn't matter, right? You can come on the day. But if you want to be baptized and you want to talk to us about it, please see us. Because there's no better day. I mean, there's a better day. Every day is a great day to be baptized. But on a resurrection Sunday, to wash yourself away and go, this is new. It's all gone. I get a new chance just to walk. And this is who I want to follow the rest of my days. No better day. Right now, anyway. So, thank you, Jesus. I just want to pray for you all. Thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us every single day how to be your followers, Father, how to be your true disciple, Father. I thank you, Lord, that we acknowledge, God, that what is true of you is now true of us, Father, and that we have died and rose again with you, Lord. And I thank you, God, that you teach us every single morning how to get up and place your agenda above ours. How we can be in community, love one another, love our family, love each other, Father. No Jews, no Gentiles, no male, no female, but we are all one family, one accord, one spirit, one heart with you, Jesus. And I thank you, God, that you just speak to every heart that's here, every heart that's feeling lonely, every heart that's feeling isolated. I pray, God, that they will feel that they are part of this family, Father. They feel that they're part of your family, Father. No longer orphans. I feel that if you go, you know what, I'm standing on the outskirts, and you go, I feel like an orphan. He's saying, no, You're not an orphan. You're a part of my family. That's what he's saying. I bought you for a price. I want to walk with you. I want you to walk with me. I want you to make effort to want to walk with me, and I want to walk with you. I want to be your friend. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you that you reveal yourself more and more and more to each person here, more deeply, more intimately, Father. May we have more of you, Jesus, like our worship said today. May we have more of you, Jesus. May we wake up with you and your agenda every morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come and have your way. I'm open. Let's lift him up. I'm open. And my heart is an open space for you to come and have your way. I'm open. I'm open. My heart is an open space. Come and have your way. I'm open. I'm open. And my heart is an open space for you to come and have your way. I'm open. I'm open. And do whatever you want to do. Sing it out and do whatever you want to do.
Thank you, Lord. Say
whatever you want to say and move whatever you want to move. Change whatever you want to change.
Stepping out, so, and I was umming and ahhing whether I do this, but the two people that gave their hearts, I'd like to pray for you. Please, if you are willing, I'd like to pray for you.
I'm open, yeah, I'm open, yeah. My heart is an open space for you to come and have your way. I'm open, I'm open. Say whatever you want to say. change whatever you want to change. Yeah. Do whatever you want to do. Do it, Lord, and say whatever you want to say. Yeah. And move however you want to move. Whatever you want to change.
If you want prayer for anything this morning, this isn't just for these guys. Why don't we just set this time aside for him this morning? If you're battling and just need some prayer this morning, the altar's open this morning.
My heart is open wide. My eyes are open wide. What are you saying?